Welcome to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in the next hour, in our Understanding the Scripture segment, Dave and Tom will continue their discussion of the doctrine of salvation, with our focus this week on the question, should the serpent be cursed or worshipped? In Religion in the News, Crossing Over with John Edwards, is that crossing the line? We'll look at that topic. And in this week's Contending for the Faith segment, we'll examine the question, did we say Jesus rose on the eighth day? We hope you can stay with us. Our ministry, the Berean Call, offers many teaching materials, including books, tracts, audio and videotapes, and copies of our weekly broadcast on tape or compact disc. You may also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, the Berean Call, which we offer free of charge. We'll let you know how to order later in the program. Now, this week's cover article. With installment number 12 of their series, An Urgent Call to a Serious Faith, here are Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. In our ongoing discussion of Dave Hunt's book, An Urgent Call to a Serious Faith, we've been addressing just what the title states, a serious faith. And serious faith has content. It's neither wishful thinking nor a baseless hope, but rather a trust which is formed because of factual evidence, because of solid reasons that would motivate us to regard the object of our faith as trustworthy. And of course, serious faith can only be placed in God, who alone is completely trustworthy. So how do we go about attaining a serious faith in God? Well, the way we highly recommend is to go straight to the Bible, which is unequivocal in claiming that it alone is the written word of God, and examine it to see if its claims hold up. The Bible declares itself to be God's specific revelation to mankind about himself, about his creation, how things began, where they are going, things we couldn't figure out without his insights. In previous programs, we've discussed how the Bible is and must be absolutely accurate in all that it addresses, and we gave examples with regard to history, to archaeology, and to other areas. If the Bible is truly the word of the all-knowing, all-powerful Creator, then you'd have every right to expect that the Bible reflect God's supernatural qualities, and perfect accuracy is just one of them. However, no supernatural aspect of the Bible is more obvious than fulfilled prophecy, which is the primary subject for this program. Dave, I want to start off with some verses from the book of the prophet Isaiah. These verses make it as clear as can be that God is using prophecy to demonstrate that he alone is God. So jump in when you feel you want to make a comment on this. Isaiah 41, starting with verse 22. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, and declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods.
Yeah, well, God is saying if you believe in a lot of gods, you know, you got some gods, well, let's have them tell us what's going to happen before it happens. In Isaiah 48, for example, verse 5, slip over there real fast, he says, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldst say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. God says, look, I told you what's going to happen. I'm not going to let you give credit to your phony gods, your graven images and so forth, and I'm telling you what's going to happen before it happens. In the very next chapter there, Tom, and this is so powerful, it is so tremendous, because prophecy is unique to the Bible.
Right.
It's not in the Bhagavad Gita, the Koran. Joseph Smith did a little prophesying and missed every time. Benny Hinn has tried it, and sorry, I don't want to offend any of his followers out there, but we can document you false prophecy after false prophecy after false prophecy by Benny Hinn. For example, he said the homosexual community God would destroy it by fire by 93 or 94 at the latest. Benny said there wouldn't be a place in America in the mid-90s that would be safe from earthquakes. I mean, I go on and on. So God says one of the marks of a false prophet, Deuteronomy 18, when they say something in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, that is the very thing I didn't say, God says, because he doesn't make any mistakes. So in Isaiah 42, verse 9, he says, "Behold, the former things are come to pass." That is, the things that he's already told you about. "And new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them." I think you had in mind going over to Isaiah 46.
Well, 45 as well. Okay. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Mm-hmm. For there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the mark of God, and he presents it as a challenge.
Over and over, he says, this is the proof that he is God. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, then there is none like me, declaring," now he gives you the proof, "declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Mm-hmm. Of course, Tom, it raises a lot of other questions, which I don't know what you've planned for this program, but probably...
I plan to follow you wherever you go, Dave.
No, I'm following you wherever you go.
We're in trouble.
Okay.
No, but...
But it does raise questions. Does man have any choice? I mean, if God can tell you what's going to happen before it happens, or is God outside of time? He's not part of time. In fact, we don't even know what time is. Einstein tried to tell us a few things about time, but... we don't really know what time is. It seems to be part of this functioning universe that we have. And it is essential if you're going to have movement. You've got to have some means of measuring it and so forth. But the Bible doesn't really explain what time is. Mm-hmm. But maybe God is outside of time. I don't know. But he is the only one who can do this. Maybe he can just observe it before it happens. I don't believe... that it means that if God tells me ahead of time what's going to happen, he makes me do that. In other words, Tom, I can play that game a little bit in my feeble way. I know that when this program is done, sometime you're going to walk out that door.
Well, Gary, our producer, engineer, he knows about time. He tells us about time.
Oh, that's
but
right.
It's a different thing.
Yeah. So the fact that I know you're going to walk out that door doesn't mean that I have determined that you're going to walk out that door. But anyway, from God's standpoint, however he does it, he knows what is going to happen before it happens. And that is the mark that he says proves that he's God. And now he challenges anybody else to do it, you false gods. Okay, so I think that's a great start to the program here, Tom.
Well,
where are you going to take us now?
Well, I want to back up just a little bit. The program for our listeners, if maybe they're first-time listeners, the program, the heart of the program is to encourage people to read God's Word.
Amen. And the proof that it is God's Word is just what we're talking
about.
That's
exactly.
You will not find these prophecies anywhere else. And Tom, I often say it, these are not cheap psychic predictions. These are actually, God has foretold the events that have shaped history. And they have been observed by historians. We're observing them today. You cannot deny that this is God's Word. These are the events that have made history, foretold in advance, and there it is laid out in the Bible and nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I hate to say that we exude confidence, but we are confident. We have read the book. We encourage people not to follow Dave Hunt or T.A. McMahon, but to at least take our encouragement to read the book, check it out for yourself, and see if it it's almost what we say about the book doesn't do service to it. You got to do it yourself. God himself will help you to understand the things that we're talking about.
This is our standard, Tom. Mm-hmm. This is the guidepost. Mm-hmm. This is our anchor. This is everything. Mm-hmm. We go by the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that my interpretation is better than somebody else's. We must each examine it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think generally we should agree on the interpretation. There are some things hard to be understood, the Bible says. But in the final analysis, when we each stand before the Lord, I can't say, well, I took that interpretation because that's what my concordance said, or that's what my commentary said, or that's what Jay McMahon said, you know, or Dave Hunt, or Billy Graham, or the Pope, or anybody. Each one of us is morally accountable to God to understand the Word of God for ourselves. It's the only way it can be. For God to speak to me, He's got to speak to me. And if He can only do it through someone else, who must then interpret what God says, I am not in touch with God at all. And I now have to rely on someone else. Mm-hmm. No, God has given us His Word. He's given us proof. He's given us evidence. And now we go to the Word itself. And that's all we're trying to do, search the Scriptures daily.
And the best that we can do is to just keep pointing and encouraging people to go there. Mm-hmm. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. If you know Christ, if you are a believer, a true believer in God, He will demonstrate through helping you to understand. He'll demonstrate that. Well, Dave, in previous programs, we've talked about the accuracy of the Bible from a scientific standpoint in those areas and where it just touches upon science in terms of history, archaeology, certainly logic. But now I think we're at the big enchilada here, which is prophecy. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about these scriptures in which God declares that He alone is the God of prophecy. Mm-hmm. Now, let's give Him some examples. Specific scriptures that deal with
Tom,
things to come. Things, that is, historically.
Mm-hmm.
Things that have
we've given a lot of examples. I can't remember what we've talked about, but I like some of the more obscure ones to begin with. Mm-hmm. But also, if we have time, we need to come to Jerusalem because this is big in the news right now. Exodus 12:14. God says that the Jews will keep the Passover forever. Do they keep it today? They do. Most of them don't. 30% of the Israelis claim to be atheists. The rest of them are New Agers. There are very few Orthodox. Very few who even believe in God, who even believe in the Bible, and yet they keep the Passover. Mm-hmm. I think 99-point-something percent in Jerusalem kept the Passover, last Passover, 96.4% down in Tel Aviv or whatever. Now, that's amazing. And you say, well, give me some comparisons. Well, the prophets of the goddess Vesta in Rome, they said the sacred fires tended by the Vestal Virgins would never, ever, ever go out. They went out. Mm-hmm. The great prophets of the Zoroastrians said their sacred fires in Persia would never go out. The Muslims extinguished them in their invasion in the 7th century. But God said you keep the Passover forever, and they do, even though they don't believe. And then, well, maybe that's a lucky hit. Did He ever say something wouldn't happen? And we can track that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hosea 3:4-5, God says Israel will be without a priesthood, without a sacrificial system, without a king, obviously then without a temple, for many, many years. You mean something would prevent the temple from being rebuilt. That's amazing. And Jesus told us how long it would be. In Luke 21:24, Jesus said, well, He said that Jerusalem would be destroyed again. The people will be scattered to every nation on this earth. And then, He said, Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Did it happen? It happened. I mean, UN Resolution 181, 1947, when they partitioned so-called Palestine, UN Resolution 181 says Jerusalem must never be under the control of the Jews. It must be an international city. Theodore Herzl, founder of the Zionist movement, he records in 1904 in his diary he asked Pope Pius X for help, for support for the Zionist movement. And Pope Pius X said, "We cannot prevent the Jews from returning to Jerusalem. We will never support it." And in 1919, Secretary of State Carlo Gasparri, he said, "The thing that frightens us the most is the thought of the Jews returning to Jerusalem." And you know that the UN today, the European Union, this is a big thing right now. Why did the peace talks break down in Camp David recently? Because the argument was over Jerusalem and the holy sites. And the whole world wants to have control of Jerusalem, and they do not want Israel to have authority over Jerusalem. It's astonishing. And the holiest part of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, is under the control of the PLO today. And a Jew can't even pray up there, and a Christian can't pray up there. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. So God said, we have a book about that, right out of the prophet Zechariah, "I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling, a burdensome stone around the necks of all the nations of this world." Who could have foretold that? 2,500 years ago, that prophecy was uttered. Jerusalem had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. It lay in ruins, surrounded by wilderness. Today, it's a little nothing place. Why didn't God say, "I'll make Moscow or New York or Paris"? He said, "Jerusalem will be the number one problem the world will face. And I think everybody in the world knows if you don't solve that problem, you've got a nuclear holocaust on your hands."
Mm-hmm. Dave, I want to take our listeners all the way back. I want to go back to Genesis, because there are a lot of prophetic ministries out there that, and I think an occupational hazard with that is to sort of get into speculation. But mm-hmm. my favorite aspect of prophecy has to do with the first coming. Mm-hmm. And all of the prophecies that predicted the coming of the Messiah,
right,
the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can look at that and say, here are the prophecies, this is where the prophecies came, mm-hmm. here's where it was fulfilled, and with regard to what's going to, prophecies that that haven't been fulfilled mm-hmm. yet, hey, if you're 100% so far, then mm-hmm. you can put your confidence that the mm-hmm. prophecies that have been given...
The reason I mentioned Jerusalem is because it is an ongoing fulfillment of prophecy mm-hmm. today,
right,
has been for many, many years. What would keep the temple from being rebuilt? That's astonishing. The mm-hmm. Jews wouldn't have a sacrificial system and so forth. But anyway, let's get back to Genesis.
Well, let's start with Genesis 3:15. I know we we've been dealing with Genesis in the latter part of our program.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll keep doing that. I mean, mm-hmm. that has to do with salvation and the gospel. Mm-hmm. But this is Genesis 3:15, where God declares that there will be conflict down through the ages between those who follow Satan, the one whose deception helped bring about the fall of mankind,
mm-hmm.
and those who would follow the Messiah, the Christ of God. And although Jesus would be bruised by Satan, meaning our Lord's suffering leading up to the cross, ultimately his death in payment for the sins of mankind would fully destroy the works of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Now this, do you know of a prophecy prior to this? This is the solution mm-hmm. to the fall.
No, this is the seed of the woman also, which mm-hmm. is the first promise of a virgin birth.
Mm-hmm.
The seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, a deadly wound. The serpent would bruise his heel. And as you know, you were a Catholic, you remember, and I don't know whether we've talked about it, but Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal appeared to Catherine Laboure in 1830, mm-hmm. supposedly, in Paris, with her heel upon the serpent's head, mm-hmm. mint a medal. Millions of Catholics still wear that medal today. I know that some of the older, particularly the older Catholic Bibles
mm-hmm.
didn't say the seed of the woman. It said the woman would bruise the serpent's head, which is not true.
They say she instead
of
he, correct.
But that is the first promise of a virgin-born Messiah
mm-hmm.
who would destroy the works of the devil.
And then as we go through the Old Testament, we find prophecy after prophecy, not only types of examples or types of the Messiah to come, but prophecies very specific.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you mentioned the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then we have Luke 1:34 and 35. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
Now, Tom, but many of the seminaries today don't even believe this. We have virgin birth, come on. Part of their problem is they begin with the idea that they approach the Bible with the idea that miracles can't happen. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, miracles must happen for there to be salvation. I don't know what God they believe in, but whatever God they believe in can't do miracles. Yes, a virgin birth is a miracle. Virgin birth is a sign. And he must be virgin born, otherwise he would be an ordinary man. And an ordinary man couldn't pay for the sins of the world. He would have to pay for his own sins. And Isaiah 9:6 very clearly says, and I hope that our Jewish listeners out there, if we have any, will just pay attention here, not to me, but to what your prophet Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. Now, that's the babe born in Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given. That's the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who comes and takes this body, becomes this man. The government shall be upon his shoulders. You cannot deny them. This is the Messiah. Because the next verse says, of his kingdom and peace there will be no end. But it says, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So there's a babe that is going to be born in Bethlehem who is the eternal Son, and he is the Everlasting Father. And when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, he didn't mean one in purpose and intent and meaning and interest and so forth like the cults teach. One in essence. And furthermore, right where we were reading in Isaiah, God says, I am the only Savior. Beside me there is no Savior. Now the Messiah cannot be the Savior unless he is God himself. So we have to take what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the prophecy that God himself would become a man and pay for the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey,
only he could do it.
All right, we've got about a minute left. I want to quote from Romans. This is Romans 1:1-3. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh.
Declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection
right.
from the dead.
Mm-hmm. And this is what, again, I probably shouldn't use the phrase, this is the big enchilada, but prophecy is so important. Mm-hmm. It demonstrates mm-hmm. so clearly that the book, the Bible, mm-hmm. is supernatural, that God God is speaking to us through
it. And Tom, this is why I can say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, we didn't make this up. Paul didn't make it up. He said, this is the gospel of God that he promised by his prophets.
Mm-hmm.
We can go there. We can prove that this is the truth because the prophets foretold it. The gospel, the very gospel that we preach, they foretold. Praise God. That gives you confidence.
Amen.